Tonight's shiur, Parshas Tazria, brought to you by Mishpachas Weinblatt of Ramai Pei Chemers, Louis Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. The Parsha begins, Shakti Tazria, Vidal Zachar. However, the main focal point of this Parsha is the union of Tzaras, which is the ikar, because I'll bring different reasons why a person is punished with tzaras, with leprosy. Main reason is of lashon hara. So Yisrael Salanter brings a connection between last week's sedra and this week's sedra. Last week's sedra, Shmini, talks about ma'achalas asuras, things we're not allowed to eat. This week's sedra, as we said, speaks about tazria, mitzora, tzaras, which is comes lashon hara. So Bekitzer says, Rabbi Yisrael, that last week's sedra tells us what things which are mutter aser to put in our mouth, right? The foods which are kosher and unkosher. Whereas this week's sedra speaks about the things which are mutter and aser to come out of one's mouth. That is the inyan of lashon hara. So the first thing the sedra discusses the mitzvah of mila. Actually, v'yom hashmini yimol basar laso. So the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel, brings a ma'isa with David HaMelech. David HaMelech went into the bathhouse, the Gemara says, and he was naked, you know, took his clothes off to bathe, and he was upset because he realized, he says, "Oi," he says, "I have no mitzvahs, I'm bare, bereft of any mitzvahs." Until he recalled the mitzvah of Mila, Bris Mila, he said he had on him, Baruch Hashem, I do have a mitzvah. And when he left the bathhouse, he said the kapitol lamatzeach ala shminis mizmor leDavid. Shminis being pashat the eighth day of the mitzvah of Mila. So the Chasam Sofer, Al Pidrash, learns out this Gemara the following way. He says that David HaMelech said went into the bathhouse, so which is symbolic of he wanted to bathe himself, cleanse himself of his veras. He was doing a cheshbon nefesh, so veras, mitzvahs, wanted to do tshuva. So David Melch was thinking, he said, you know, he was upset because he figured, you know, my whole life, can I really say that I did any one mitzvah 100%? 100% with any no personal bias, for totally altruistically l'shem shemayim. Can I really say that about any one mitzvah that I ever did my whole life? And as a result, David felt bad. That's what he said when he felt naked. He couldn't find one mitzvah that he did 100% kulo l'shem shemayim. Until, where it says he remembered Mila. Mila, he says, Bris Mila. I was a little baby. I was 8 days old and I had Bris Mila. Right? Obviously, I had no other intent, no personal benefit, no this, no that, nothing. I had no das. I was a little baby. So that was niskara daito. He felt, good. Baruch Hashem, at least I have one mitzvah that I can say is totally altruistic, one of Zim Shemayim. And that is, Bris Mila. I was a little baby. It has to be pure. So he also touches up the also Pidrash, the Gemara and Sota, Dafei, that says, Atamu Chacham should have shmini shabashminis of gaiva. Pashtus, yes, you should have a little. Gaiva is a bad mida, but Talmud Chacham has to have a drop of gaiva. Shmini shabashminis, an eighth of gaiva. He says, I'll pee this. What we said, you can say the following, that a Talmud Chacham has no right to be miskaya, to be proud, to be haughty about any of his mitzvahs, because who's to say that, like we said, any one mitzvah is 100% pure. Except for one mitzvah, and what is that? Bris Mila, like we said. And that's representative of Shmini Shebashminis. What Shmini Shminis have to do with Bris Mila? Why the 2/8? Because we said Bris Mila is on the 8th day, but it's also the 8th mitzvah that we had. Why? We had the Sheva mitzvahs, Shebanei Noach, and after that, Avram Avinu had Bris Mila. So the 8th mitzvah that we had was Bris Mila. So Shmini Shebashminis represents Bris Mila, which was the 8th mitzvah that we do on the 8th day. So Mela, a Talmud Chacham, therefore we could say, says the Chasam Sofer, has to have a Shmini Shebashminis with Gaiva. He can be Gaivadik concerning the Shmini Shebashminis, the mitzvah of Mila. That he can be Gaiva, because that's the only mitzvah that he can say 100% was done Kul L'Shem Shemayim. But that they also say, you can touch up if you ever have to speak at a bris, you can say this vort, and at a bris we say, Kashem shenichnas labris, can you kanes l'tor l'chupim maisim tovim. So Pizas, you can say the same thing. The Kashem shenichnas labris, this says the rachanimel, the baby, right, went into the bris and had the bris done, kulo l'shem shemayim, as we said, Kashem shenichnas labris, kulo l'shem shemayim, keini kanes l'tor l'chupim maisim, everything he does, all Torah, mitzvah, etc., chuppah, should all be with the same Hashem Shemayim as he went into the bris with. Sinyan of doing mitzvah kula l'shem shemayim. So there's an interesting maisa in the Chafetz Chaim. That the Chafetz Chaim composed one of his svarim is the Sefer Mitzvah Sakatzar. Right there, we know there's 248 positive mitzvahs, 365 negative mitzvahs, and many of these mitzvahs are not knowing bizman is that. So the Chafetz Chaim compiled a sefer where he listed all the mitzvahs that are now, unfortunately, we don't have the base of Mikdash, etc., that are knowing bizman is that. And he made it, as we call it, Sefer Mitzvah Sakatzar. And the fact that of the 248 positive mitzvahs, only 77 he lists are knowing bizman is that. Comes out about one third. Only one third of the positive mitzvahs are nogia bizman hazeh. And the negative is 194 out of 365. Many mitzvahs we're lacking. Anyway, so the Chafetz Chaim compiled the sefer, but he didn't have the money to bring it to print. So he made a cheshbon that to do so would cost in those days $1,000, quite a bit of money, and he didn't have it. So he heard of a friend of his, whatever, that was going abroad. He was going from Europe, he was going to America. So he says, I wonder if you could do me a favor. I wonder if you could be my shaliach. He says, I put out this, I wrote the Sefer Mitzvah Katzar. I'd like to, print it and, spread it. But it's going to cost $1,000, Berach, to do such a thing. And I don't have the money. So you're going to America. Maybe you can find some you'd like to sponsor, would like to pay for the printing of the sefer. So he told the shaliach, he said, however, I have conditions. First of all, one condition is that I want it all to be put out by one person, not a number of people, just one person. And I want it to be Be'ilum Shem. I want it to be anonymous. I was the person that gives the money. I don't want to put his name in. His name shouldn't be mentioned, and it should come from him. Not that he should not want to have his name. Not that we're not printing your name, but that should come from the sincere desire himself, not wanting to have his name, put in the sefer. Okay, those were the conditions. And he said, see what you can do. Fine. So this friend goes to Chutz Laretz. Goes to America, and those days, by boat, and he arrives. He was totally sick from the trip, and he had to go recuperate. So he decided to go to Florida, where the weather is better over there, the warm weather, to recuperate from the trip. So I think he took a train or something from one place. He came to the platform there, and he got off. And he arrives there in Florida at the train station, and he sees a person that looks like himself, like a religious Jew, and at the train station. He approaches him. He says, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Yid, whatever. He says, are you visiting here? So he says, yeah, I just came to recuperate a little bit. So he says, you looked, like a visitor. So I'm just here because I'd like to tell you something. Says, whenever I see a religious person, I like to tell them that if you're thinking, you're going to go to a hotel and you're going to see, the restaurant, the hotel has a kosher sign on it, which you'll see. I wanted to let you know that it says kosher, but it's under the supervision of the reform movement. So, it's not so kosher. So I just want to let you know that. And he said, thank you very much. So, they started talking a little bit. He said, do you have a place to go to eat? And he goes, no, actually, I don't know. She says, please, can you would like to be my guest for Shabbos? And that, please. Fine. So he stayed by this guy for Shabbos. And once Shabbos, he approached him. He said, listen, I'm sent also by the Chafetz Chaim, it's Shaliach. He'd like to print the sefer, his sefer mitzvah the katzar, and they're looking for somebody to, you know, donate money for it. Do you know anybody? It's about $1,000. You know anybody that might want to, you know, take it upon themselves? So the Baal HaBayis thought for a moment, and he says, "I'll tell you what." He says, "I'd like the honor. However, on a certain condition." So what's that? He says, "I want to be the only one to give. I want to give all the money myself, and I don't want my name printed in the sefer. I want it to be totally anonymous that I gave the money. I don't want my name printed in the sefer." So he says, "Wow, unbelievable! You know, exactly the Chafetz Chaim wanted." So he says, "Wonderful! You know, you got it. It's a deal." And sure enough, he gave him the money and ended up putting out the sefer. You can buy it in the stores today. And Baruch Hashem. What happened years later, many years later, the Chafetz Chaim was ready nifter, and the shaliach that he had sent, and the Baal HaBayis, everybody ended up in Eretz Yisrael. So one day, the shaliach, you know, that had gone for the Chafetz Chaim, he was sitting in his porch in Bnei Brak, and he sees walking on the street an avreich, and he says, oh, I know who that is. That's the son-in-law of the guy, the Baal HaBayis, that gave the money for the sefer, you know, back in Europe." And he called them over, and he says, "Oh, come here. So he says, "Are you so-and-so son-in-law?" And he says, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, wow, that's unbelievable. I know, I he says, "I'm sure you heard the story about your father-in-law gave the money for the sefer." And he says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "The Chafetz Chaim sefer mitzvah katzar. You know, of course I know the sefer." He said, "You know, and your father-in-law." He goes, "I don't know, what are you talking about my father-in-law?" He says, "You didn't hear?" He said, "No." He says, "Oh, you know, I went for the Chafetz Chaim and I met in Florida, I met your father-in-law, and he gave the money for the sefer. Anybody want to be anonymous?" He told him the whole story. So he says, "Wow, he never told us anything about it. That's unbelievable." So the son-in-law then went to his father-in-law, and he said, "You know, I just bumped into somebody in Bnei Brak, and he said that you know, he was shaliach of the Chafetz Chaim, and you gave all the money for the sefer mitzvah katzar, and you want to be anonymous." And all the story was out. "How come he never told me the story?" All of a sudden, the father-in-law says, "What?" He says, "He told you that? That's it. I'm not moichelim in lo mechila lo balam hazel lo balam haba. I'm not moichel. I'm not moichel." The son-in-law says, "What's wrong? What's going on? What do you mean, not moichel?" He says, "You don't understand. I was a man, you know, back, you know, in my days in Florida. I, you know, had money, and Baruch Hashem, I supported Torah, this institution, that institution, whatever. And the only thing is, you know, I always felt that, you know, very nice. I gave money, but with the money comes kavod, etc. And it's not, the mitzvahs were not pure. You know, as much as I gave, it was never like pure. And I figure it's going to affect, you know, my olam haba. How much olam haba am I going to get when I gave the money, but I get all this kavod for it." So when this came by, you know, this opportunity to sponsor the sefer, and I decided I want to do it totally cool, nobody should know about it, totally hid it, so that I can take at least one thing, one mitzvah I can take with me to Olam Haba, one thing that's totally cool, right? No kavod, no nothing. I want nobody to know about it. And Baruch Hashem, that's why I said I don't want my name, nothing. And I thought that was it. I have a mitzvah to go with me to Olam Haba. And now it's ready out, the secret's out, and that's why I don't want to be moichel. Okay, of course, in the end, sure, he's moichel him and everything, but shows the idea of mitzvah l'kul l'shem shemayim. Okay, let's continue. It's a couple of other ideas of the mila. You know that the kol hayom, you can do bris mila the whole day. It has to be in the daytime, can't be at night. The whole day, but zrizim mashkimim l'mitzvahs. But there's an inyan to do it as early as you can because of zrizus. Inyan of zrizus. We learn it from Avram, Yashkim, Avram, Baboker, and where it says in Psachim. So the chida is an interesting observation. He says if a person were to do the mitzvah the earliest time possible. Okay, in other words, you have 7 days gone by. Normally, the first, the beginning of the morning, and the 8th day is the earliest time you can do the mitzvah. So you'd have 7 days, brings us to the night of the milah, night before, plus that night. So he says, how many hours is that? So you have 7 days, 7 times 24 hours in a day, 7 times 24 is 168, plus now from the night until the morning is another 12 hours, let's say, so that's 180. So the earliest time you can do the milah is after 180 hours. Right? Who is the first one that was gemalt at this earliest time on the eighth day, Yitzchak Avinu. And how old did Yitzchak live for? 180 years. So, connected the 180 hours when he had his bris milah after 180 hours, Zvizu Mashkimim, first time, 180 hours, Zochet to live 180 years. The Avudram says, at a bris milah, the baby comes in, we say, Baruch Haba. Right? So he points out that the word Haba, Hey Beis Aleph, in Gematria is Shemona, it's 8. So the Rem is to the 8th day of the milah. There's a Balaturim, which I checked it out. It doesn't work 100%, so I don't know, but I'll share with you the Balaturim anyway. It says, he points out that the number of, if you count the letters and words, the number of words, in the Pasuk, Vayom HaShmini Yimol Basar Laso, you count all the letters plus the words, it says it's the same amount of letters and words in the Pasuk, Vayichu HaShemayim V'aretz V'chol Tzvam. Truth is, I counted it. It didn't work out exactly. It was off by one. So normally we say a gematria is okay, it was off by one. But this isn't exactly a gematria. It's counting the letters and words. I don't know. But one's off by one. But he says, what's the connection? We know that Bris Mila is Doche Shabbos. So therefore, the Pasuk, Bris Mila, the same letters and words as the Pasuk Vayechulu, dealing with Shabbos, tell us the hint that how Bris Mila is Doche Shabbos. Okay, so let's go on now to some leprosy. Okay, it says Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis and Gimel. The Adam Kiev Besaro Seis Lapachas etc. Vehuvail Aron Hakohen. He's brought to Aron Hakohen or Echad Hakohen Bibinav Hakohenim. Varah Hakohen Es Anega Bor Habasar Vesir Abinav Fachlaban Umari Anega Mok Mior Besaro Nega Sarasu Varah Hu Hakohen Vitimei Oso. So the Meshech Chochma asks, what is Rahu HaKohen? Why didn't it say Ra HaKohen? The Kohen saw. Why does it have to say Rahu Hu? Sorry, him, it, whatever. They say Ra. So he says, it's a hint to the Mishnah in the Gaim, in Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, says that if a chassan, a person's getting married, is a chassan, so if he has a nega, the Mishnah says the Kohen should not paskin on the Nega and make him Tame until after the Sheva Brachas are over. After Shivas Yimei Mishnah, you give him 7 days, Shivas Yimei Mishnah, and only then, if you want to make him Tame, make him Tame then. But don't paskin on the Nega before, because give him the Shivas Yimei Mishnah. So Mele, says the Meshech Chachma, very nice, says, so we see from here that when the Kohen looks at the Nega, he doesn't only take into account the actual nega, he also takes into account the person behind the nega. Okay? In other words, you have to look at it. Don't just look at the nega. Look, he might be a chassid, and therefore you have to don't paskin on it. So therefore, it's verahu. You used to look at him. You have to look also at the person, not only the nega, but the person behind the nega. The Imri Emes, he asks a question. He says, we know that the chassan, on the when he gets married, the day of his chasana, his Chosh Baruch Hu's moichel al kol avonosav. So, Freg the Imre Em, if that's the case, well, why does he have a nega? Nega comes as a punishment for his averus, right? So, what is a chasan? We have given him 7 days, 4 years. Why is he doing having a nega? The chasana Chosh Baruch Hu's moichel al kol avonosav. So he answers, he says, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is moichel. What averus is a Kodesh Baruch Hu moichel? He says, only the averus has been Adam L'machel. That if Kodesh Baruch Hu is, it's only between him and Hashem, that's fine, I'm moichel my chelet. But what about the averus has been Adam L'chavero? That Hashem can't, he can moichel his part, but it's the other part of the person that you're. And why does Saras come, we said before? Because of Lashon Hara, which is an averus ben Adam L'chavero. So in Meile, you could have a situation where even though a chassan is forgiven for his sins, but that's only between a ben adam l'machol. But you can still have the avera of ben adam l'chaveri, spoke lashon hara, whatever that, a kodesh baruch Hu can't take care of. That the person has to. So therefore, there could be a scenario where you can have a chassan that has a nega that we have to wait for. Okay. The Shar Bas Rabim is interesting. Hara, we see that the color which is metame by a nega, is white, right? Veseyar hafach lavan, right? The hair turns white, it's a sign of tuma. So it makes an interesting R. He says, interesting that here we see white is a sign of tuma. Whereas by on Yom Kippur, white is a sign of purity. Is right? Do we send the seer with the chut right in his horns, the lashon zahoris, which was starts out red, and if our sins are forgiven, it turns white. You know, as the pasuk says, imyuk chateichem katzemer kasheleg elbinu, that the white turning white like snow, that's a sign of purity, that we're forgiven. She says, why is it, if we see white as a sign of purity, how come here, dafka by saraz, is white a sign of tuma? So he says the following. He says, we mentioned before that saraz is a punishment for lashon hara, which is true, but it's also a punishment for something else. It's also a punishment for stinginess, tsarasayim. So Meili says the following. So a person is stingy. He doesn't want to give tzedakah. He doesn't want to help his fellow man. But okay, he knows he has to. So what does he do? He comes up, okay, he comes up to the poor person. He wants something here. Take it. You know, begrudgingly gives it to him. So the ani feels very uncomfortable. You know, when he receives money from a tzarayim, from a person who's not giving it happily. So it's embarrassing. He gets embarrassed to take something. You know, he doesn't take something he doesn't really want to give to him. So since he's embarrassed to receive it, what happens? What happens when a person gets embarrassed? He turns white, like Chazal say, right? Azil simka v'ati chivra, right? The redness goes away, and his face turns white. And Chazal say that's it's comparable to shofech damim. It's like you're killing the person. He's like he turns white when you're embarrassing him. Memele, this tzarayim that gives, you know, begrudgingly to the ani and embarrasses him, therefore, and makes that person turn white. So therefore, mida keneged mida, he gets tzaras, which the sign of tumah is white, because it's keneged making that person white. So keneged that, he himself has the white, which is a siman tumah for. Okay, it's a beautiful balaturim. Actually goes back a little out of order in Mukta Mucha B'Torah. I should have mentioned this before. But the Balaturim makes the following observation. We see by the Yoledes when she brings her Karbanas, okay, after birth. So Pasuk Vav, Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, it says, V'imlos Yimei Tara Ben Olavas, Tavi Keves Ben Shnato Lolah. So she has to bring two karbonas. One a keves, an animal, a sheep. Uben Yonah Otor L'chatas. So that's for an ola. And for a chata, she brings a bird. Either a Ben Yonah or Tor. Yonah or a Tor. Fine. Then couple of psukim later, it says, what if she can't afford to bring the sheep? Right? She's supposed to be sheep and the bird. She can't afford to bring the sheep. Im lotim sayada, they say, v'lachash tei torim o shnei b'nei yonah. So instead of bringing an animal and a bird, she brings two birds. Either two torim or two b'nei yonah. So the Balaturim makes the following observation. He says, why is it that the Torah, though, switches the order of the birds? When it's she's bringing the animal and the bird in Pasuk Vav, it mentions first a Ben Yonah and then Tor. It's okay, but now if she can't afford it, she brings two birds, Tor Shnei Torim and Shnei Bnei Yonah. First Tor and then Bnei Yonah. Why does the Torah switch the order? So he says, beautiful. He says the Tor, the Ben Yonah. These birds are known to be very faithful to their mate. In other words, as long as their mate is alive, whatever, they don't find other birds. They stick with their mate, the Tor and the Ben Yonah. The difference, though, is that a Yonah, at least when their mate dies, then they'll find another mate. While alive, not. But if their mate dies, then they'll find another mate. Whereas the Tor, even after death, it's faithful to the mate and won't find another mate, even after death. Amemele, he says, beautiful. He says, when we're bringing both two, you know, a couple, right? Either a Yona or a Tor. So then, what's better to bring? It's better to bring a Tor, because the Torim are bigger than the Yona. So Mimele, in Pasuk Ches, you know, say, they have Lachash Te Torim, or Shnei B'nei Yona. It's better to bring the Torim, the pair of Torim, because they're bigger, nicer, it's more covered. And if you can't, then okay, Ben Yona. So that's why it says first Tor, and then Ben Yona. Ah, but in Pasuk Vav, we don't bring two, we're all bringing one, an animal, which you can afford, one animal, and one bird. Now if you have to bring only one bird, so one out of the pair, so here the Torah says the opposite. Don't bring a Tor, bring a Ben Yona. Why? Because like we said, if a Ben Yona, if you think from a Yona, then if you take one of them, you know, for your korban, one is going to be with the other one. Find another mate. Because we said a Yona, after the death of its mate, will find another mate. So it's better to bring a Yona, because you're not causing him such problems. You take one, the other one will find a mate after. However, the Torim, that's better not to take one of the Torim. You're taking just one bird. If you take one of the Torim, what's going to be the other Tor? You leave without a mate. Because we said Torim don't go finding other mates after death. But Mela, you're leaving this bird without a mate for the rest of its life. So Rachamav HaKomasa, in order to have Rachmanis on the bird, we say it's better to take the Yona, so at least when you're taking one, so that the other one can find a mate. When you take a Torah, you're leaving with mateless. Therefore it's, see the godless of the Torah and how it cares for the animals. Okay. And the Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, says, find it here, right, Vehiskalach, Vesanesek lo yigaleach. So the word vehiskalach, which of course means to take a haircut, to cut one's hair, vehiskalach. So it's peculiar that the middle letter over here, the gimel, is in big. It's a big gimel. It says vehiskalach. So what's the significance? So the Baal HaTorim says that there's a remez over here to the three people that have to get a haircut. You have to cut off all their hair. And who are they? There's a Nazir after he's finished in his years, he cut his hair. A Mitzora as well. A Nazir, excuse me, that became Tame. There was a Nitma. He cut all his hair off. And a Mitzora. And the Levim, right? The consecration of the Levim, and the inauguration of the Levim, they cut off all the hair of the Levim. So since there's three that get a haircut, so therefore a remez to this, there's a, on the word v'yiskalach, we have a big gimel, to be a remez of those three that get a haircut. I was thinking to extend it a little bit, the remez, perhaps, and say the following. So we have the three, we have the Mitzora, Nazir, and Levi, the Levim. Okay? So if you take the letter, the first letters of each, Mem is Mitzora, Nun, Nazir, and Lamed, Levim. If you take the first letters, take the Gematria Ktana of each letter, so Mem is 4, right? 44, and the Nun is 5, and Lamed is 3. So if there's a hint in this word itself, a His Galach, Hey is Hey Taf Gimel Lamed. So Hey and Taf. Hey is 5. So that's connected the Nazir, which we said was 5. And then Taf is 400 is 4. The Gematria times 4. That's connected the Mem Mitzora. And then we have the big Gimel, which is represents as the 3. And then after that is Lamed, which is Levim. Lamed Levim. It's all the same Lamed. And so there's a hint to these three in the letters themselves. And you could, I was thinking, why though is the Gimel interfering between these two, the Mitzora and the Nazir, which is the Hay and the Taf, and there's the Gimel, and there's a lot of Levies on the other side. So it could be because the different Levies, cutting the hair of the Levi was different than the cutting hair of the Mitzora and the Nazir. Why? Because the Mitzora and the Nazir are people that did something wrong. The Mitzora, we said, a person is a Mitzora because he spoke Lashon Hara, it's a punishment, right? The Nazir, after he was Nitma, you know, he became Tameh, and so it was Mitameh, so therefore he has to go through this process of getting his hair covered. So those two are on one side, because that's one type of hair cutting. Whereas the Levi, when the Levim had their hair covered, they're not being punished for cutting their hair off. Why did they get their hair cut off? It's because they were to take over from the Bechor. right? At the Bechor was supposed to do this service in the Mishkan, but since they sinned by the Chet HaEgel, so the Levim took over. So they took became instead of the Bechor. And the Chet HaEgel was what? Avodah Zarah, which is Zivchei Mesim. And Mesim, we said that a Metzorah is Chashuvim Kameis, and a Metzorah gets his hair covered, cut off. So Mimele, the Levi, was taking the place of these people that, you know, deserve to have their hair cut off, so therefore the Levi gets his hair cut off. But the Mimele, the Levi is his left, he's just taking the place of the Bechor. He's totally innocent. So Mimele, he's separate from the other two, and those are the three that get their hair cut off. There's minhagim also that's rem, as they say over here, in the minhag of getting your hair cut during the sfira. There's different minhagim when one can get his hair cut. Some at Lag BaOmer, some they start from Rosh Chodesh until the Shloshet Yemei Hagbala, and some the Arizal the whole time, the whole sfira holds not to get, and one should not get a haircut. So there's a remez to these in this word, in this pasuk as well. How so? That the big gimel is represented of the Shloshet Yemei Hagbala, that some people get their haircut, go from Rosh Chodesh to only till Shloshet Yemei Hagbala, they get their haircut then, that's the gimel, Shloshet Yemei Hagbala. And I don't remember if I saw this somewhere, I just thought of it now, I don't remember, but those that get their haircut in Lag BaOmer, this is in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. It's Pasuk Lamed Gimel, this Fiskalach, which is representative of Lag BaOmer. Those that get their haircut in Lag BaOmer. And what about the Arizal? So they say that if the, according to the Arizal, the Fiskalach is in Gematria 552, which is Taf Nun base, which if you rearrange the letters stands for Tistaper Be'er of Nun, that you get a haircut on Erev Shavuos. There's a remnant to that as well. Okay, it's one last vort from the Sav brought in the Gan Rava on the Pasuk towards the end of the Parsha, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Nun Hei. It says, V'raha ha'kuein acharehu kabeis, talking about tzaras, it's on the beged, on the clothing. And after it's washed, v'ine lo afach ha'nega es eino, v'anega lo pasat tamehu. So he says, there's a remez here, Chazal say, he's in the name of the Shem Ephraim, that a mitzora has a nega. How do you spell nega? Nun gimel ayin. Okay, after he becomes pure, then that nega becomes the oneg. The same three letters, nega and oneg. There's an oneg becomes an oneg after the after he becomes pure. So if you take nega and oneg, what's the difference? The difference is that where the ayin is. Nega is nun gimel ayin, the ayin is at the end of the word. Oneg is the same letters, but the ayin is at the beginning of the word. Ayin nun gimel. It's only where the ayin is, at the beginning or the end. Amameli says, up Pidrash, you can say, Vihine, the Kohen looks, Vihine lo hafacha nega es eino. Eino simply means like the color didn't change. But it could also be ayin, the letter ayin. If he sees the lo hafacha nega es eino, the ayin of the nega didn't change. It's at the end of the word, Mamele tamehu, as a sign of tuma. It was at the beginning, back then it would become oneg, the sign of tahara. But Hashem, we should, Bizoicha to the ultimate Tahira, and Bizoicha to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Bimhir Bimeinu, Amen.